Welcome to the Mum Boss Podcast. I'm Lorna Lyons, and if you are anything like me, you want to build a successful, abundant business around your precious family, designing a life constructed by you, for you. I'm a mum to three babies and two fur babies, and my background extends from corporate management to teaching business to full-time entrepreneur. And through this podcast, I will share with you the tips, tricks, and actionable strategies that I have leaned on for building a successful digital business. So let's dive into today's episode. Joining us on the podcast today is Shelley Mack, and Shelley Mack is a highly valued member of the Mum Boss Network. And I invited Shelley Mack onto the podcast today because she, in fact, won the title Member of the Month because of her unbelievable vulnerability inside our community, but also her authentic and reach out support that she gives to the other members of the group. Even at her lowest of times, Shelley has come in and reached her arm out and pulled other members of the group up time and time again. And I'm so delighted to have you here with us today. You're very, very welcome to the podcast, Shelley.
Oh, thank you so much, Lorna. My lovely introduction. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure to come on with you today. And it's been a pleasure to be part of Mum Boss Network as well.
Oh, fabulous. Well, look at Shelley, for anyone who doesn't know you or your business, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so my name is Shelley Mack. I'm known as the Well Woman Health Coach. I'm a women's fitness and nutrition coach. And my main purpose in my business is to provide a very clear and concise pathway for new mums to recover, restore, and rebuild their strength, their fitness, and their confidence after having a baby, and well beyond that as well. So I have what I call the Well Woman Fitness Hub, where I have this lovely pathway for women to take them from that beautiful recovery stage all the way through to, as I said, far beyond after having their babies. I've just worked with so many women who just have lacked the confidence to invest the time in themselves and find themselves kind of later on after their babies are getting that little bit bigger and wondering where to start and what to do. And that's where I've come in. I also run a small number of face-to-face classes in my local area as well, to keep in touch with all my face-to-face clients, which I've had for the past 11 years. So it's been a wild little trip. I suppose where I am now isn't where I started, but it is such a great space to be in. To be in the online space, it has been amazing. It's been a real trip, but it has allowed me to work with women in areas that I never would have been able to see or meet before. So it has been a fantastic journey to hear.
Oh, that's amazing. And, you know, this is your second time on my podcast, Shelley. Yes. So much has actually changed for you. And it's interesting listening to you back now talking about the online and the digital space that you've fully fledged into now, because the last time you were on here, it was much more face-to-face work that you were doing. So how has life changed for you in terms of how you operated your business before versus how it works now? Because you also have had another baby since we last spoke.
Yeah, so I suppose a lot has changed in the past year. For anyone who maybe wouldn't have known me originally, a lot of people wouldn't, I would have started a brick and mortar studio, fitness studio, back in 2012. So I would have been working in the fitness industry for a number of years before that, opened up my brick and mortar studio in 2012. Fast forward to 2020, got forced to go online, and I say it like this, I got forced due to whatever happened in 2020. And between the jigs and the reels, I actually made the decision in 2021 to close my brick and mortar studio. And that decision came, it was a difficult, very, very difficult decision to make, but it came back to my work-life balance. When it came to actually reopening the studio, I realized that at this point, I had two small kids. There were three and five. And going back to working face-to-face, you know, 6 days a week, it just didn't align with the way I wanted to live my life with my family and put my focus on them. So I actually put all my focus in on online work. So I started doing just online class. I was doing online classes since 2020, but continued to do just single online classes. Then I kind of broached into running programs. So I'd run 6 or 7 week programs online. We'd work out 3 times a week. We'd do live classes, and I continued to do those. I'd done multiple programs. Then it came to last year, so a year ago, where this time last year I was heavily pregnant. I was expecting our third little baby, which was such an amazing time. And I was able to use the programs that I had done live, and I actually turned them into evergreen programs. So while I was off, taking some time off for maternity leave, I was able to continue to have classes and programs available for people who wanted to continue to train while I wasn't working live. Since then, everything has changed again. So I continued to sell those programs, which was great. It was, I suppose, being very honest, this is like, I suppose I want to show the highs and the lows. It wasn't this case of like, oh my goodness, I'm off work and I wake up in the morning, there's hundreds of people after signing up to my programs. It wasn't. It was a very slow little burn. And I suppose when you're off maternity leave, I had high hopes of really taking a good amount of time off and really stepping back. But what we hadn't anticipated when we decided or we planned on, you know, adding to our family was we hadn't anticipated a social or a living crisis. We hadn't anticipated the rise in prices of absolutely everything in our household, our electricity, our mortgage went up, you know, home heating, everything went up at a time that I was meant to be taking a step back. So the reality of it was the programs that I had up there, yes, I was getting clients, but it wasn't getting enough to sustain the gap that we now had in our household. So I actually went back to work when my little baby was 7 weeks old. And that is, you know, when you talk about being self-employed or having your own business, sometimes that's what it looks like. And I would have had, because I work in the fitness industry and obviously going back to work meant doing physical work, I had a lot of people saying, oh my God, you're amazing. Wow. And I was going, no, this is just life. This is reality. We got to pay the bills. Like, you know, we got to bring in money somewhere. And that is the reality of it. Sometimes, you know, it's great. You get to pick and choose your hours, which is what really worked for me. But sometimes reality is you just got to get the work done as well. So I went back just doing two face-to-face classes a week. I felt I couldn't just go into the online space. I just wasn't, my headspace wasn't in it. And I knew that by going back face to face, just with a couple of classes, I had my regulars, they were really keen to get back. And it just gave me that little bit of breathing space. Since then, moving forward, I suppose, since even then, I continue to do my online class or my face to face classes. I run 4 a week. But I had almost like this light bulb moment. I wanted to get back into my online work. I wanted to get back doing all the stuff that I love doing online, reaching and meeting the people that I had met and providing the service that I really wanted to provide for them. But the catch 22 was I now had a small baby at home. And getting back to those programs that I'd always done where I was doing, you know, 3 classes a week, 4 classes a week, providing them live online, that wasn't going to work either. So I had to make another shift. And I wasn't sitting here. I was actually, I distinctly remember it. It was the 28th of April. I was driving home from the most amazing day with a host of other mum bosses at the first ever mum boss gathering. We had our first ever gathering with Lorna. And I was driving home. And it was one of the first times in months, at that point, 7-8 months, that I'd actually been alone in the car for a few hours. A little bit of headspace, a little bit of white space. And I was literally driving home and I wasn't even really thinking about anything. I suppose I was thinking about the day, but nothing in particular. And all of a sudden I had this, you know, that light bulb moment where you're like, oh, how did I not think of this before? I was sitting on about 300 classes that I had recorded online. And they were just sitting on my computer, just sitting there, doing nothing, gathering dust. Amazing classes, amazing programs. And on the other hand, I had people who were already contacting me saying, oh, you know, I've gone through the programs that you have up there, but could I just get some lower body workouts and some upper body workouts? And somebody else saying, oh, I'm injured, I can't run, can I get some upper body and core workouts? And I was head melted going, I don't know how to provide for these people. I don't know how to put all these things together that they want. And yet I have 300 plus classes sitting there gathering dust on a hard drive. And driving home from Athlone that day, I had this light bulb moment where it just came out of my head. I don't know where. Well, I do know where it came from. It's obviously, you know, like these subliminal messages that come in and all of a sudden the fog lifts and you think of it. And I was going, why can't I put all of these in one place? And that's where the Well Woman Fitness Hub came about. I put all my programs and I put all my classes in one spot, broke them down into our beginners programs, our intermediate or advanced programs, broke them down into upper body, lower body, full body classes, broke them all down on the hub, and I released it and people came. people joined. And it was phenomenal because it felt like I thought of it really suddenly, but clearly I hadn't. It was obviously something sitting there. I had a different plan, but this one came to fruition first. And all of a sudden, you have that realization of like, this is what people wanted. This is what people probably wanted 6-7 months ago, when I just didn't have the clarity at the time to actually realize that this was a possibility. Because my focus had always been on, I was niching down to pre and postnatal coaching. And my focus and my goal had always been to release a membership which focused solely on bringing women through recovery, through restoring and then rebuilding after having a baby. But I also realized that after that, they've got to do something else as well. And it was almost like everything that I already had there recorded was the everything else. So instead of just leaving it there and waiting, I put that up first. And now I'm adding in all the other phases and all the other parts to really bring women on this entire journey through from beyond pregnancy and beyond. And the next stage then, I know I sound like I'm going backwards, but then I'm going to be adding my pregnancy content. So yes, I'm working backwards, but we're getting there. Slowly but surely, we're getting there. And that's where we're at now. I now have the membership up and running. It's been up and running for since May the 14th. And yeah, people are, they're really enjoying it. And it's exciting. It's exciting.
Oh my God, Shelley, your story is incredible. And you know what I adore listening to more so than anything else is the timeline that you take us on of, you know, what happened first and what happened next, and the pathway and the steps that you needed to take in order that have all led you to the place that you're at now. And I can't believe I only know you a year. I feel like I've been on this journey with you for so much longer, because I know when we first started chatting to each other online, you were very much in the headspace where you were trying to figure out your niche. You know, when you had gone from that space, you had done your pivots already into the online world, and you're having these, your successful online classes, like you're saying, your programs that you're up and running. But you used to come to me and you'd be like, oh, I just can't figure out my niche. Should I be here? Yeah. Should I be here? You know, there was a lot of those conversations that happened. And then you were pregnant and you were like, okay, like you said, I'm going to make this all evergreen so that I can take this time off to be my precious little baby at home. And, you know, this is going to be the next magic thing that's going to happen. And then, you know, like you said, you experimented with that. You tried. It was successful because people bought it. But it's like you could see in that moment, this still isn't going to be the thing that works for me. It's not sustainable. I still have to go out and continuously launch in order to bring in more people. And that's tiring with three kids. But I really want to be in the digital space rather than the face-to-face space, because that's what works for me as a mom. So your whole journey that got you to where you are now, it's just very realistic of the peaks and troughs that women in business, all entrepreneurs, need to go through. And what I'd love to ask you is, what strengths do you really hone in on yourself, Shelley, that have allowed you to, first of all, experiment with all of these different things that you've done, but secondly, to actually take the big brave moves and pivot after spending so much time working on something previous? What are your strengths?
Oh God, that's a tough one. Like this is a funny thing. I would not consider myself a risk taker, and I wouldn't have considered myself at a certain point. I wouldn't have considered myself very confident. But then I look back on the decisions that I've made and I'm like, you gave up, like 11 years ago, I gave up a permanent job and just went, sure, look, we'll open a business without actually forward planning or thinking. So what are my strengths? I don't know. I think I do approach most things with a positivity, but I do, I suppose it's a calculated risk without even realizing it. I would have considered one of my downfalls to be that I would have been a massive overthinker. That I could think about something for, I'm not even saying days or weeks, for months. I could mull it over. But I said this in our group one day, sometimes I can overthink. And then sometimes I literally just snap decision, go, right, go. That's it. It's almost like the Mel Robbins 5-4-3-2-1, go. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Once I'm in, I'm in. So once I've made the decision, I'm all in. And I throw myself at it. And I suppose strengths, I have no fear of hard work. I have no fear of putting in what needs to be put in. And I think that is my strength, that once I make the decision, I'm right, that's it. The hardest thing I find is actually making the decision. Once it's made, I'm there. I'm literally like tunnel vision. That's it. But like I would never have considered myself a risk taker. So, you know, in any areas of life. So I think it's more calculated risks that I take. And I, like I said, I would never consider myself very confident, but looking back, there has to be some level of self-confidence or self-belief there that you go, do you know what? I can remember even when I was opening the studio all those years ago, I was literally like, yeah, sure, it's grand. Now I had such less responsibilities back then. But I remember even my mom at the time being like, would you consider going like part-time? You know, and I was like, not to touch. Or no, there's no point doing that. Like, just, you know, once the decision's made, that's it, we're in. But there definitely has to be, I think, in business, you don't have to know all the things all the time. You just have to know a little bit and you just have to go with it. You just have to run with it. I think that's really the biggest thing that I've done, I suppose, looking back on everything that I've done. You just have to run with it and you have to be aware that it might not work out. And there's been so many things that, like, I could look back on some things and be like, that didn't work. That really didn't work. Or, oh, like, I could look back really negatively and say, oh, that was a disaster. You're joking me. But I think most things I've done, I'm able to step back and go, right, okay, that wasn't it. What can we take from it? And let's drive on again. So it's been a little bit analytical about things and a little bit, one of the big things is not taking things personally. That took a long time to develop. But if something doesn't work out the way you planned, like I remember releasing a program and crickets, nobody, absolutely nobody signed up. And I remember being like, oh my goodness, that was a car crash because nobody signed up. But from the after that, because I then wasn't running this program, I had time. And from that time, I then developed something else. So you're like, sometimes it might seem like something doesn't work out and it could be it may feel like the end of the world, but really it was never meant for you. And it's just opening up a space where you can find not even the next thing, the better thing, the one that is actually going to be what works for you. So it's not like even from every, sometimes I'm jabbering now, but this year when we were on the Mum Boss Network, I described a situation about a month ago. So I'd launched the Well Woman Fitness Hub. I was so excited. We had a connection call that morning and it was 1 month. It was exactly 1 month since I'd launched it. And I had set up a launch special offer and people had until midnight that night. And I remember coming on the call and I was like, oh my God, I've exceeded what I thought I was, you know, the number of people I'd exceeded it by 8, I think at the time. I was like, oh my God, I wanted X amount of people and now 8 extra people have done. I can't believe it. And this is the first day that I'd ever, ever got reoccurring income in my business. I woke up that morning and I'd opened my accounts and I was like, oh my God, those subscriptions from last month have rolled over into this month. I haven't had to go out and tell them about a new program. I haven't had to go out and tell them that I'm launching something or that I'm starting a new class. It just happened. And it was the first time in 11 years, first time ever having reoccurring income.
I'm interrupting this episode very briefly to let you know that this podcast is sponsored by the Mum Boss Network. This is my learning community for mums wishing to build, grow and scale their businesses online. Inside the Mum Boss Network, members gain immediate access to expert masterclasses on topics such as Instagram marketing, branding, copywriting, as well as lead generation, email marketing, podcasting, and other content marketing platforms. You will also have access to group monthly coaching calls, collaboration challenges, co-working power hours, and so much more. If you want to join the Mum Boss Network, sign up to the waitlist through the website www.themumboss.com.
But then fast forward to that night, I actually exceeded, I did 50, I got 50% more people in the first month of the membership than I had actually planned or hoped. I suppose I'd set myself a goal and I exceeded it by 50%. And I went to bed that night and I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this. And then I didn't sleep a wink that night because all I could think of was, oh my God, they're all going to cancel. This is like, they're all going to just, I don't know, like imposter syndrome. They're going to figure out it's terrible and they're all going to cancel. They're all going to leave. And what am I going to do then? And those thoughts, yes, they creep in. Complete imposter syndrome. So if anyone who is running a business, if you have those thoughts, yes, oh my God, they're so normal. What I've learned to do is catch them really quick and name them really quick and write them down really quick and talk to somebody about them. And you know what? Have I had cancellations? I've had 3 people cancel, which is like a very small percentage compared to the people who are on. And again, I could take that really personally, but I actually reached out to them, asked why they were canceling. They had really, really valid reasons, really, really valid reasons. I was like, do you know what? Beyond that, I can't control anything beyond that. So if I can take, if they have any feedback, great. I'm going to put it into the hub and make sure it's a really great experience for everyone going forward. But there's some things that we can't control. But there, you will have super highs where you're like amazing. And you will have these lows, and they might be a mental low. They might be a financial low. They can be any kind of low. But from every low will come another high. You never stay down there. You never, ever do. And it'll feel like you're in that low for... It can feel like you're going to be in that low forever, but you slowly bring yourself back out of it again.
Oh my God. Shelley, for anyone who's listening to this podcast, you've got to just rewind this for about 10 minutes and press play and re-listen to everything that you've just said. You've actually made me tear up on a number of different times as you were speaking there. And I'm going to label a couple of the strengths because I initially did ask you what your strengths were, and your immediate sort of response was, oh my God, that's a hard question. And I actually see myself as not a very confident person. And, you know, you immediately went into the negative spaces, and then you started to just speak, and all of these amazing strengths just flew up out of you. One of them massively being the resilience element. And showcasing so, and this is why Shelley's so amazing inside the Mum Boss Network, can I just say as well, because she is so honest with her time of producing programs and there being crickets, like you said, that, you know, nobody actually signed up to something. And I think the true measure of an entrepreneur is the meaning that you attach to any outcome of any offering that you create, whether it is a membership with recurring revenue or a workshop or a one-to-one coaching program, whatever it is, it's an offer that you've sat down at your desk and you've lovingly created, and then you've put it out there to the world. And what's really, really, really difficult is not to give all of yourself with that at the same time. You actually have to detach the meaning from the outcome, because like you said so beautifully, Shelley, if it didn't work out for you in that moment, it just means that that wasn't for you. But what it created was this white space time for you to be able to go back to the drawing board and go, okay, that didn't work. That's okay. That's just not what's needed out there at the moment. That's not what they're looking for. It may not necessarily mean that I have to change everything about what I've already created. I just might need to give it a different packaging. I just might need to make it look a little bit differently, you know, or on the outside, the messaging of it, or, you know, the communication of it, or whatever it might mean. And something that I have really learned throughout my time in entrepreneurship is you learn nothing from your successes. You learn nothing from them. You're like, what? How did that just happen? how did that just work? Jesus, that must have been just like, how lucky am I? And now, you know, cross my fingers and my toes that I'll get that lucky again the next time I go. Whereas the failures, or the failing forwards, like we like to say and talk about them, that's where all the learning is. That's where all the meaty stuff is. But so many people crumble in those moments. They attach the meaning of their offerings not being good enough, or people not wanting to work with them specifically. They take it personally, like you say. And so 2 things can happen. They could just give up then and there and actually go back to the day job because it's way easier. Or they could go into just a really low, low space of time where just giving themselves a really hard time over in their head over and over and over again. And listening to the voice in their head, but also listening to the people around them, the environment that they're in, where the people that love them the most are saying things to them like, Asher, why don't you try it part-time? Maybe that'll be better. And there's so much in entrepreneurship where you need to be resilient, like I talked about there, but you also need to be resistant to those voices in your head and around you. So how, Shelley, how do you not take these things personally?
Oh, come here. Pre-2021 me would have been under the covers, absolutely bawling my eyes out. So I used to take it really personally, really, really personally. Like if anybody finished a class, if anybody just didn't come back as a client, I would absolutely be sitting there going, what have I done? What have I done? I have done something wrong. And it's realizing, like, even from, you know, we ourselves, as you know, outside of being entrepreneurs and business people, we are members of things and we're whatnot. And sometimes we stop things or we don't buy things. And it's not because there's something particularly wrong with it. It's just we're not in that season at that time. We don't need it at that time. How did I stop taking it so personally? I suppose in 2021, I did a lot of personal growth, a lot of, you know, I did a fabulous course about building your confidence, actually. Did that, which was fantastic. How do I not take it personally now? I realize that even though my work is like, I would have called it my first baby, I absolutely love what I do and I still adore what I do, but it is a separate entity. It is not me. It is something that I do and I put my all into it and I absolutely adore it. But, and even though I am the face behind it, I am the person, I am there leading the classes, taking the people, it's not me. It's something. So if somebody or if people don't sign up for something, if they decide to cancel or unsubscribe or whatever, it's not me that they're unsubscribing from, it's the thing. And that thing, like everything, will change, it'll pivot, it'll evolve. As a person, I'm still the same person. So it's almost like you have like your little boundary around yourself to say, I am me and I am fine. It's just they didn't want the thing at the moment. And that's okay. And that's absolutely okay. And in order to do that, to remove myself from it, I kind of, you know, you look at it really rather than a personal thing. You look at it from a work point of view. You look at it very strategically and analytically. And I don't like using those kind of words when I'm around my members, because for me, they are, my members are my absolute all. But in the background, you know, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, you've got to sit back at your desk and look at things from a very strategic point of view, an analytical point of view, and figure out what wasn't going right. It wasn't me. Like, are there things that I can change? Yeah, but I don't have to change myself. I just have to change the stuff that I'm doing. But that's not me. That's the stuff that I do. And that's really the only way I was able to kind of create that, almost like this little barrier around my own feelings around it, my own headspace. And does that barrier get absolutely washed away sometimes? 100%, 100%. But I suppose I've built up kind of those little tools to help to build myself back up again and build that little barrier around myself again and ensure that I can literally sit at something and look at it for what it is, which is, it is a product, it is a service. And that's what people are looking for. They're not looking to hurt you and you're not looking to hurt anybody. They're looking for a product or service that they need in their life at that time. And being able to make that disconnect almost is what has helped me.
Oh, that's so helpful. And I hope for anyone listening that they're able to, I always think everything begins with awareness. And to hear you say that, you know, that boundary still takes a pummeling every now and then. Yeah, but you're able to kind of come back and remind yourself of what it is and that it's separate to you and it is not your identity. I think that's really, really powerful. Shelley, you've mentioned on a couple of occasions about your confidence, and it's something that I love working with clients around because of my own personal journey with my confidence. I think a lot of women out there have felt like their voices have been taken from them, some shape or form. They may not even realize it's happened until they go to actually try and exercise their voices, until they actually try and share an opinion or share a thought or try and wrap words around something that's important to them. And then they realize that the words are not coming out like they can think about in their head. And you've mentioned the confidence issues, and you mentioned that you did a course as well to help you build your confidence. And it's a huge, huge part in starting, building and growing your own business. So would you have any, through your learning and through your experience and the journey that you've taken with growing your confidence, would you be able to compress time for other people and tell them, you know, what top tips could you give somebody who's massively struggling with their confidence, but really wants to show up for their business in the way that their business deserves them to?
That's a really good question. I suppose my phrase that I always have to keep front and center is those who mind don't matter, those who matter don't mind. And I think for me anyway, trying to express what I wanted to say, there was always that, like, that little person on your shoulder saying, who do you think you are? Like, you know, what's your one saying? Jesus, who does she think she is? And there was always that little gremlin sitting there. In order to kind of get flick that gremlin off, it's almost like you have to peel back a little bit and figure out where it's coming from. For me, it actually came from childhood, mm-hmm. and I dragged it all the way through the years up until I got to the point where I was like, I'm not 5 years of age anymore. And if I open my voice, or if I use my voice and say what I want to say, it doesn't necessarily mean that people are going to laugh at me. That was my thing. It was like, it literally came from childhood, being like, I'd literally walk into a room and as a joke, people would go, oh, I'm going to tell on you. And you're like, I didn't say anything. I didn't say absolutely anything. But I literally took that feeling the whole way through, that I was like, if I say something, people are going to laugh at me. In order to kind of get to this point a little bit quicker, I would say you are no longer that child. You've grown so, so much. And you get to have a voice. Everyone gets to have a voice. Everyone deserves to have a voice. And your opinion, if you don't, actually, this is probably the biggest thing. If you are sitting there and you're going, I can't say that, I shouldn't, what if Mary down the road hears me when I'm talking on Instagram and they laugh or whatever it might be. If you don't use your voice and if you don't say what you believe in and what you want to tell people, you are doing people a huge disservice, because people are not going to hear your valuable opinions. They're not going to hear your knowledge, your expertise. They're going to miss out. So by you holding yourself back, you're actually doing your members, your clients, your customers a complete and utter disservice, because they're not going to find out what you know. And what you know is really valuable. It's really important. And you deserve to say it. So sometimes it can be hard to work on ourselves, but because a lot of us are people pleasers, if you know that you are not bringing, you're actually doing other people a disservice, it kind of gives you a little nudge to get those things out there and to use your voice. And I work in the fitness industry, it is hugely populated. There is so many different trains of thought. There's so many different opinions. There's so many in here that sometimes it can be a little bit like, oh, but like, if I say something and it kind of goes against what the next person is saying, does that make me wrong? No, everyone has their own opinion and everyone has their own way of going about things. And your take on something is, even if you have the same thing to say that as Mary down the road, the way you say it is going to resonate with different people. And you are going to help so many people by literally just pushing forward, through pushing through that barrier, flicking that gremlin off your shoulder and just taking ownership of your thoughts and your ideas.
Oh, I resonate with so much of what you said just there, Shelley. Absolutely awesome. And just to add to it, I think nothing changes if nothing changes. And if you are, I hate this word desperate, I need to figure out a different way to say this, but if you are, I think often when you're starting out and trying to grow a business and using Instagram to be able to reach an audience, you can be desperate to change your life in terms of your work, what it is that you've been doing before versus where it is that you want to go. And if you're desperate enough to want to make huge changes, which means leaving your daytime job, like my daytime job as a teacher, I did not want to go back to it. I wanted to be able to be at home, drop my kids to school, pick them up from school, be the full-time childminder. So I wanted, but I also wanted my financial freedom. I also wanted something just for me, that passion project that I could make, you know, an actual success out of. Wow, how awesome would that be? It was all a pipe dream in my head. But nothing will change if you continue to do what you've always done before. And so the only way you can make those changes is if you actually start speaking up. And for me, what really worked was being driven by that why behind my voice in the first place. Like, if I was asking myself, you know, why would anyone want to hear me speak about pregnancy and birth? Because my first business, I was a positive psychology coach for pregnancy and postpartum women. So I would ask myself regularly, why would anyone want to hear from me? But then I would counter argue with myself, if you want to be able to leave your teaching job, you've got to have people to hear from you. You've got to open your mouth and speak, because otherwise everything's going to stay the same as it is right now. And so it was about making the reason behind the motivation, I suppose, make that bigger than the fear of judgment of actually speaking and what Mary down the road might say or what she might think about me. That used to drive me as well a little bit. I remember having in the early days doing my walk to school when I was walking the kids down, and I used to bump into people in the community who I knew were watching me on Instagram and watching my stories and didn't know that sort of side of me or whatever. And I used to look at them. I used to think and recognize, yeah, they're judging me. Of course they are. I would. It's just human nature. But there was a little sort of fighter inside me that went, I'm going to show them. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make it happen. They're going to come back to me in a couple of years time and go, Jesus, you did it. I'm going, no, I did do it. You can do it too. And so, nothing changes if nothing changes. And also just want to tap into what you talked about in terms of your confidence, Shelley, because you said it went back to your childhood, and it often, often, often does. And if you haven't gone through therapy at any stage in your life, I highly recommend it, just for being able to tap into these different parts of your childhood, or therapy or coaching, whichever way you want to go about it. But therapy is often better for going backwards, I think. But the inner child, or finding out, like you said, we're all born with a voice. We all have it there, but it's somewhere along the way it's taken away from us. And it's often to do with, you know, generational habits. So I, for some reason last night, was thinking, I don't know, as I was going to sleep or as I woke up, but I was thinking about my dad, and a sentence he said came into my head. And I just think it's funny that we've started talking about this now, because this is just literally in the last 12 hours, this thought came into my head, where my dad used to sit on his chair in the living room at home. And he used to have this sentence that he used to say all the time, which was, I'm not the talker in this house. Okay, but it was always said with like a little bit of a dig at my mom, who was the talker. She didn't stop. She was like yabbering on. And me and my dad used to have this sort of like eye roll moment whereby, would she ever shut up talking? Like, she'd just go on and on and on and on and on. So I feel like my association with talking somehow was associated with being bad. Somebody who talked took up far too much space, and actually the people who were around that person didn't want to listen to them at all. And so I then took that into my subconscious mind without ever realizing, and grew up thinking that if I was to take up airspace, I'd bore the hell out of anyone around me. And so I started to stifle myself, it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You don't know what you take on board until you start peeling back the layers of the onion, and yeah, you find those little gems, those little nuggets that you're like, aha, that's where it came from.
Yeah, totally. So Shelley, could you tell us about a moment in your entrepreneurship journey that stands out for you, that maybe holds a lot of meaning to you? I don't know if it's something in recent months or if it's years ago. Is there any point in time?
I suppose there was, it was 2020, huge. 2020 was, you know, it was the year that was the year. But there was a huge thing came from that. In 2020, my business, which at the time would have been known as Max Fitness in Recormick, so that was my studio, we actually won the, oh my goodness, I should know the name of it straight off. We won the best fitness community in Ireland in the Irish Fitness Industry Awards. And this was actually at a time where my business was closed. So it was phenomenal. And where that came from was where I believe was obviously the years previous of building a community. And that's what I felt like I was building. I wasn't building a studio, I was building a community. But as I said, in 2020, I had to close that March and I started doing Facebook Lives. I'd never done a Facebook Live in my life, but started doing Facebook Lives for free. And I ended up doing them for 4 months. And through that, it was like taking everything that I'd done in the studio and being able to release to other people. And the whole concept of doing those free Facebook Lives was to keep people going and keep people motivated and keep spirits up. And it was like receiving that award then later in the year. It was just like, oh my God, you know, we did it. We managed, even through all of this, everything that had gone on, we maintained this sense of community. And it was, I remember the awards were meant to be up in Dublin. I'd actually been nominated the year before and we didn't win, but be nominated this year. And they were meant to be up in Dublin, all black tie, everything like that. Clearly that wasn't happening. So they were online and I was sitting at home. I knew they ran on a Saturday evening and it wasn't even like somebody talking. It was just like a screenshot of this is the next award. And then a logo come up as to who had won it. So I was sitting there and it was so unexpected that I started screaming. And my little girl at the time, she would have been 5, was beside me, started bawling, crying. She got such a fright. But I could, like, that's how blown away I was. And I suppose that was all done by public votes. And we were a tiny little studio in a small little village. And to think that there was so much support there at that time for us to win that, it was phenomenal. And I think it's a lovely feeling that I've taken the whole way through, that even though you mightn't, especially in this online space, you mightn't be able to see people, you mightn't be able to meet people, but there is this support and connection that comes from that. And it's something I will always, always be so grateful for and always, always really treasure. And it came at just at a really lovely time, because I think 3 days later, I was able to open the studio for a couple of months. And that had been, when you talk about highs, that had been actually an extreme low. So to kind of finish on that, like to have that little high, it really came at a really good time. And I've kept that feeling ever since. It's not about, it's, you know, you can be small, but very, very mighty. Really,
very mighty, because you're an impact driven coach. And I think so many of the women inside the Mumboss Network as well, there's a lot of really like-minded souls inside there where they actually, and you actually care about making a difference. You actually care about creating impact. And that's because of that, it's actually felt by all those people who you're touching, you know, in your membership or back then, you know, in your programs. And I'm not in the least bit surprised that the numbers came out and rallied behind you. But it also shows me, you know, how important recognition is. And I think as solo entrepreneurs, there's not much recognition that we all get in the amount of work and hard work and effort that we put into our businesses and all the different hats that we have to wear and all the different learnings that we have to go through. There's nobody there ever to kind of recognize it. And that's okay. You know, it's not like we're out there looking for recognition or somebody to say thank you or well done on a daily basis or anything. But I can totally see how winning an award like that and just having that recognition for the amount of passion and energy that you give to your job is just lovely to receive. And I think it's brilliant that you're able to tap back into your feelings and sensations around that time and use that to keep you kind of going.
Because I think especially the because it was the fitness community, it felt like we had won it. Like we as a village, we had won it together. And I think that's what was just phenomenal about it.
Oh, I love it. Your community spirit, I love it. Shelley, do you find it hard to switch off from your business?
Oh, yes. Oh my God. Definitely this year I found it really hard to switch off. I got into a really good zone up until, so our littlest lady arrived last August. And up until that point, I'd actually got into a very good zone where I was able to really, like, there's never really a total balance, but I had kind of really managed to keep my work and my home at home. Since then, those boundaries have completely bled again, because I don't actually have any dedicated work time. I don't have a childminder. I don't have anything. So as a result, I feel like I'm constantly thinking, constantly wondering, constantly thinking, oh, I must do that. I might do that later. I must do that tomorrow, rather than being able to kind of go, I'll do X, Y, and Z on Monday, because Monday is my work day. And on Monday evening, then I'll completely switch off because I've everything done. But because at the moment Our little girl is nearly one. She's on the go now. Our older two kids are 5 and 7. So we're kind of on the move a lot. I do find it hard to switch off at times. I'm getting better again and getting better again. The first 7-8 months after having Rosie was really intense. And I felt I really couldn't, at times, really couldn't switch off from anything. But now I find that those boundaries are starting to come back a little bit again, and it is lovely. I do think about things an awful lot. Like, there's times that we're somewhere and sometimes, again, you just think of that white space when you're out there, you know, might be playing with the kids, not thinking about work, but something will come to mind. But in order to switch off, I do find it difficult at the moment. I find we're kind of rolling through the day, and then come evening time when kids are in bed, I'm like, right, okay, I need to get everything done now. And during the day, I'm thinking about what I need to do. So it is something I do need to get better at again. And I know that will come with time. I think that's why I'm not stressing about it now anymore. That will come with time as kids get a little bit older as well. It is all manageable. I just have had to scale things back. I've had to be very intentional with my time. So what time I do have, very intentional with it, hyper-focused. And I've had to learn to just let some things go and that things will take longer. And that's it.
Slow progress is still progress.
It's progress. Yeah.
And have you found with the membership model that you've created that has alleviated any of the sort of time and energy that you need to be putting working in your business, I suppose?
Yeah, definitely. It's still very new. Obviously, as I said, it's 2.5 months in now. Definitely, definitely, definitely. I've never run this type of business model, as they call it, before. So it is very new to me. But after the initial setting up, and I'm currently recording, I'm doing a lot of recording at the moment to add on to the different phases and different programs. But I think a part of me in that first month when I started the membership was like, okay, what should I be doing today? You know, and I realized, yes, people had joined up and they were signed up, but they didn't want to hear from me every day. They didn't want to be overwhelmed with this person coming on, because the membership is a small little part of their life. It's not their whole life. It's my whole life, but it's a small part of theirs. And it was that first month was very much like, okay, take a breath. It's fine. You know, you're contacting everyone. Everyone is okay. I'm here to answer questions. We're keeping in touch. But it was definitely a shift in mindset, because I suppose my normal business would have always been working in it all the time, like physically doing the classes, physically doing everything in life or life. So it is definitely different, but it's something I'm not sad about. It's quite nice to have that feeling of being able to, that it is running, it is ticking away in the background. I'm always in contact with the ladies and always trying to keep on top of things. But yeah, it's definitely going to be a mindset shift going forward to that this is actually the way that life can be. So yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing it as a move over the next few months as well.
Yeah, and it is very representative of the season of life that you're currently in, with such a small Baba at home and building this business model at the same time. But you know how much I stand over it being the absolute life by design business model for a mom, because, you know, even though you are in the early stages of it and you're figuring out and you're trying to build that, although I know you're not even trying to build that learning hub because you have so many courses already inside it. I'm sure. The mindset stuff that you're talking about, that people actually don't want to be hearing from you all of the time because you're only a tiny little part in their life. I love the way you said that, because it's so true. And sometimes as a business owner, we can wrap ourselves up no matter what offerings that we have. We can wrap our heads around it being the most important thing in our clients' or customers' lives, but it's not. It's something that's there to improve their lives in some way, shape or form, whether it's reducing pain in their life or increasing pleasure in their life, whatever it might be. But it's just a small little snapshot of it. It's interesting. As a positive psychology coach, I think I'm so grateful that I got to build my business with the positive psychology and groundwork and framework behind me, because everything I started creating in my business, I always looked at it in a way of, is this something that I want to do? Is this something that I love? I never tried to create offerings based on what I thought people wanted versus what I wanted, if that makes sense. And I always try and wrap it around what's most important to me. And my core values in life are family first and then flexibility and freedom. And that just came from the job side of things. I wanted away from the school bell and I wanted more flexibility and freedom in it. And so everything I go and try and create in my business now, I look at that first. I go, is this suiting my family? Is this flexible for me? Is it providing me the freedom that I want? And if it doesn't, if it's not, then I say no to it, both mentally and, you know, verbally. It's just it's not up for debate, because why else would I, like, the whole reason I set up a business was so that I could work it around my life. And I don't want those lines to blur, but I have to remind myself of that often. But I do, the whole thinking about things in your business, I find it really hard to switch off from that as well. And any time I allow myself to do that too much, I am highly aware of how I start to act around the house and how stressy I become and how cranky I become, and the way I interact with my husband or with my kids, just snappy and, you know, just no response time there. It's just a reaction point. It's because my head is somewhere else. And when I do find myself in that place, and it does happen, it happens often, but I'm so glad that I have the awareness of it. And then I know it's time to roll right back in. And I'm in a different season of life than you, because my kids can all go occupy themselves in the playroom. If I say, you know, out you go there and, you know, play with your Lego, your Play-Doh for the next 20 minutes or half an hour. So I can get those pockets of time. And so we are in different seasons. But for me, what really works, if anyone listening here is in a season that's like me, what really works is dedicating 2 to 3 hours. Typically in the morning time, if I can get support in, if I can get some help from somewhere around me to mind the kids, and doing what it is that I, what's most important that I need to do within those 2 to 3 hours. It's never enough time. There is always a monstrous to-do list still at the end of those 3 hours, but closing the laptop and mentally, and sometimes I verbally say it as well out loud to myself, it's enough for now. And that it's enough for now. And I close the laptop and I walk away, and then I take my phone and I throw it into my bedroom. I own a 2-story house. It's gone, so it cannot be next to near me. And then I go and I really just try and distract myself in other jobs, and I in other, like, whatever, nice jobs, not nice jobs, whatever it is around the house. But I really try and not go next to near my phone till the evening time, and then I'll open it again. And I feel so much better when I do that. Like I wouldn't recommend that for every day. As an entrepreneur, you're not going to grow your business if you did that every day. I'm talking about the times when you know you're pushing towards the edge. You're going, and it's, you know, our businesses are too precious for us to allow burnout hit us. They are too precious. We've got to protect them. We've got to mind them. So when I feel myself going towards the edge like that, I go, back it up. We've got to work less. And that's something that helps me. Shelley, yeah. Thank you so much. We've been on, I'm going to have to let you go soon. I really feel like we could sit here and I could talk to you all day long. Shelley, I thought I'd give you the opportunity to shout out some women inside or outside the Mum Boss Network who've had an impact on you throughout your business journey as well, because the community is so beautiful inside there, and everyone is so helpful and supportive to each other. And I just thought this would be a really nice space to be able to say to anyone listening, if you haven't checked this person out, they're well worth going over and having a look at. So is there anyone who you would just do a shout out for and who've been impactful in your business journey?
Absolutely. Well, I suppose first, can I name a few? Just sure. A couple. So the first two are actually two ladies who reached out to me through yourself before the Mum Boss Network actually came into fruition. And that was Susan Flood. So Susan Flood Health and Michelle Scannon, who is the Vital Sign Nutritionist. So they were two amazing ladies that I got to speak to last year. And now I love to say that I've become friends with them. Both fantastic ladies, work in a similar field to myself. They're all about health and wellness. such wealth of information. They're amazing. So if you're not following them already, definitely do. Susan has the most beautiful recipes ever. And Michelle is fantastic when it comes to women's health with regards to menstrual or their menstrual cycle. So important. And obviously Lorna yourself, but whoever's here is going to know to definitely head over to your page. I swear to goodness, the Mum Boss Network has been a lifeline for me the past year. And I remember last year when you were setting it up, I was, as I said, heavily pregnant, would have been due our little Rosie Mae 2 weeks beforehand. And you were like, look, if it's not the right time. And I was like, it's the perfect time. I'm going to need help now more than ever. And I'm so glad I made that break and joined at the very, very start. But Susan and Michelle are absolutely fantastic. And another lady I'd like to give a shout out to is Lisa Joyce Dula. She is doing amazing work with regards helping pregnant women get set for labour and also for the postpartum period. So myself and herself are very aligned when it comes to the postpartum period. And somebody who is not on here, who's not in the Mum Boss Network, practical baby mama, her name is Lorna Madden. She is amazing. She is a midwife, mum of four, antenatal education expert, and just a complete wealth of knowledge. So if anyone is on here and is pregnant or has a baby or has any kids, please go onto her page, because my God, she literally is, as I said, the practical baby mama, all the practical things that you need to know. So definitely big shout out for Lorna.
Oh, lovely. Susan Flood Health, the vital sign nutritionist and practical baby mama, and Lisa Joyce Dula.
Lisa Joyce Dula.
Fantastic. And Shelley, if somebody would like to work with you, how can they go about finding out more about your offers?
Super. So if anyone would like to come and see the Well Woman Fitness Hub, head over to my page, so the Well Woman Health Coach, either on Facebook or Instagram, and you can just click the link in my bio and see what it's all about. You have the ability to join for a month or as many months as you want. It's absolutely amazing in there. It's broken down for everybody, like I said, from beginners right through to if you're advanced with regards working out. And at the moment, as I said, all my new content, which is all to help new mums start to recover, restore and repair and rebuild after having a baby, is all being brought onto the hub at the moment. The recovery phase is up there now at the moment, because I have two members who have just had their little babies. They both had them, one this week, one last week. So they have already started on the recovery phase, which is fantastic. But you can find me there. And if you do happen to live in the Cork area and you want to come join me for a face-to-face class, send me a DM. I run Pilates classes, circuit classes, mum and baby Pilates classes. And hopefully in the next few months, myself and the lovely Lorna, Practical Baby Mama, will be starting a well-being group for new mums as well. So there's a lot going on there as well.
Oh, you're such an amazing resource. So highly valuable for women across the country and abroad. Shelley, thank you so much for coming and sharing so wholeheartedly here with us today. Wishing you continued success in your life and in your business. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lorna. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening to the Mum Boss podcast. If you feel inspired by the episode you've heard, I'd love for you to leave me a 5-star review on this app. It will help this mother in business further her reach by bringing more attention to my podcast and give me the valued information I need to continue making these episodes for you. I'm very thankful to you for taking the time to do this. If you would like to be further supported in your journey as a mother in business, feel free to send an email to hello@themumboss.com or connect with me over Instagram at the Mum Boss Network. If you'd like to be kept informed about when the doors will next open to join the Mum Boss Network, I invite you to sign up to the waitlist. All the details can be found online at www.themumboss.com. Once again, thank you so much for being here, and I look forward to chatting to you again very soon.